for a player that was iconic in his generation, no matter any way you look at it. You know, one of the best leaders of his generation, one of the few European players that's been a captain of a team that's won a Stanley Cup.
The last segment, we were talking to Eric Erlandson at Lightning Insider. We were talking about how, you know, we make some mistakes here and there. And Eric gave us some props. He said, listen, I think we made it through this entire interview without a single error by any of us, all three of us. And we said, yes, it's very true. This is a great moment for us. And then Eric hung up the phone. And then we just started racking up L's. Said that Zdeno Chara has signed a one-year contract with the Bruins. That's not true.
No, if he was that, he'd be a 46-year-old man
playing
hockey. Nope,
that's not true. That's a one-day contract to retire with the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different.
And I'll eat the Huberto captain of Montreal. When they named Dick Suzuki their captain last week, that's
literally
my mistake.
A week ago.
Yeah, like I totally brain fart on that one.
Me, I've already moved on from my simple error.
I will live and die on this air.
This
like,
I'm gonna have
a terrible day because of this. I am going to throw up and die.
Oh, that seems really extreme. Listen, accidents happen. We move on.
Nick Suzuki, good captain.
Nick Suzuki, excellent captain. Joe Haggerty joins us from at Boston Hockey now here on the Big Show in the Morning, down the Alice Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Good morning, Joe. How are you doing today?
What's happening, boys? Good morning. How are things out in Calgary?
Oh, it's a beautiful day in paradise. The sun is starting to shine, and early reports, not a cloud in the sky, so we'll see if we can have some fun with this one today. But yesterday, what an interesting day out in Boston. Zdeno Chara hanging up the skates, signing a one-day contract with the Boston Bruins. I guess just as someone who's covered this team for a long time, for decades, what was your reaction to seeing that, in fact, the career is over, and he's doing it rightfully so with as a Bruin?
Well, the first reaction is it really over? Because that's a guy that's just defied time for such a long period of time. And, you know, it's just such a maniacal workout warrior that you wondered if he wanted to keep playing to 50, because he could have if he certainly wanted to. But beyond that, I was just glad, and I expected it to happen the way it happened, glad that happened the way it did, where he signed the one-day deal with the Boston Bruins, officially came back to the organization where he really built his Hall of Fame career. And you know, it will be associated with that organization. Maybe he ends up joining them in some capacity, you know, down the line after he gets all the family time that he wants. But really, it was the way it should have been, and it was the capping achievement on a Hall of Fame career for a player that was iconic in his generation, no matter any way you look at it. You know, one of the best leaders of his generation, one of the few European players that's been a captain of a team that's won a Stanley Cup. You know, the 6'9" size, the tallest guy to play in the league, that made him a very iconic player just by virtue of that. The toughest, most intimidating player, I think, of his generation. Certainly the best defensive defenseman of his generation. The hardest slap shot, 108.8 miles per hour. He now, and I knew he was going to kind of keep playing until he got it. He's now the games played leader all time for a defenseman. He passed Chris Chelios last year, and I think that was very important for him to get that. He really takes pride in the longevity. So, you know, beyond all that stuff, leading the Bruins to a cup in 2011, turning around that franchise when he signed with the Bruins in 2006 in free agency from Ottawa and changed the culture there, turned them into a team that was in the playoffs almost every single year when he was the captain, took them to the Stanley Cup Finals three times, won it once. You know, really, any way you look at it, we'll go down as one of the greatest players in Boston Bruins history. We'll go down as one of the best players of his generation. And people will always talk about Zdeno Chara, the height, the competitiveness, the shot, like all the different stuff he brought to the table. So it was fitting that it was a day to celebrate him yesterday, and I'm glad he got it because he deserved it.
I always love going back to kind of the start of the tenure, and you mentioned he comes in 2006, he changes the culture. I guess, what do you remember being the reaction from some of the fans as he joined the organization? Like, I'm sure that there weren't a whole lot that expected this type of a tenure with the Bruins way back in 2006.
Well, Well, there was definitely excitement. I mean, it was a big deal back then. It doesn't seem like a large contract now. I think it was like $37.5 million, which seems like a pittance now, the way guys are signing for $12 million a year. But it was a massive contract back then, a huge commitment to him. And honestly, I think beyond the money and being wary of paying anybody that kind of money and wary of just free agency in general. And oh, by the way, I think Zdeno Chara is the greatest NHL free agent signing of all time, given the impact that he had and given sort of the 50-50 nature of free agency and signing players to big deals like that. But I think the reaction in Boston was, this is the kind of player you want. You know, I remember the season prior to him signing in Boston, he and Hal Gill got into a fight at the Garden. Two huge dudes, you know, Zdeno Chara 6'9", Hal Gill like 6'7", two mammoths, and Chara just beat the crap out of Hal Gill, just embarrassed him. And Hal Gill was this big defenseman that never played the way Bruins fans wanted him to. You know, was never going to be willing to drop the gloves, throw big hits, really be dirty, mean, and nasty around the net, do whatever needed to be done competitively to get the job done. And Zdeno Chara was showing that he was all of that stuff and more, and he had a better offensive component to his game than Hal Gill did. So I think there was excitement because he was a Bruin-style player that was coming in. Did they know he was going to become the captain for almost 15 years and lead them to all the success? No, obviously, I don't know that anybody saw that, but I thought the Bruins fans were just excited that they were getting their kind of player in, a guy that was going to live up to the spoke B and play the way Bruins fans want him to. And frankly, the kind of guy that the Bruins could probably use now, even though they're a good team, I think they could use that kind of presence there, whether at forward or D, that really scares the bejesus out of opponents because you can't have enough of those guys in hockey.
Do you have maybe a favorite moment for Chara? Because you mentioned there's the three Stanley Cup runs. The winning in Vancouver has got to be right at the top of the list. I will always remember him with the wired shut jaw in the series against the Blues. And then, of course, there was the series against Chicago as well. Does maybe one of those runs, a moment from one of those runs, kind of stand out to you?
Yeah, there's all kinds of moments. There's the one iconic moment, the most memorable moment is, as you mentioned, 2019, the Stanley Cup Finals with the broken jaw when, you know, he showed up and played when nobody thought he was going to, you know, was not able to eat anything, was not really able to talk. Nobody knew if he was going to play or not. But, you know, he sets the tone and shows up to a huge ovation from the Garden fans who love that kind of toughness. You know, that's one that everybody remembers. For me, having, you know, worked closely with him all the time, it's kind of the smaller moments of leadership and, you know, being the pull-up champ every year off-ice testing the first day of training camp, which the Bruins are doing today. You know, year in and year out, he would set the tone by doing like 35 or 40 pull-ups as a 6'9" guy with super long arms and just would like show everybody up and say, hey, can you do that? You know, and would just have this massive statement for everybody else that they better be in good shape and they better be ready to go. You know, it was at times in practice where he would call out on the ice and you could see it, guys like Phil Kessel and Dougie Hamilton who needed it. And, you know, in my opinion, some of them still haven't, you know, really adhered to some of the things that Chara was trying to teach them on the ice through tough lessons and showing real leadership that not enough guys, I think, in the NHL show this these days, which is, sometimes you have to be tough on your teammates and you have to let them know that they're not doing the right things. And it's not, you know, hunky-dory all the time. And I think Chara was very good at that, sort of setting that tone while letting them, while being respectful about it at the same time. I remember when he broke Ryan Callahan's leg with a slap shot when they were playing the Rangers. And the level of concern he had for Ryan Callahan afterwards was just remarkable and notable, you know, that how badly he felt about how that happened. It just kind of showed sort of that there is a softer side to Chara beyond the steely competitor and this, you know, the killer on the ice that would do anything to win. There was a guy in there that was very concerned about his fellow players as well. So, you know, that and just the classy things he would do off the ice for the community, all that stuff is what I think of when I think of Chara, because I think of the person as much as the player. And he was a Hall of Famer in both regards.
And my last one on Big Z, and that's just what you feel might be next. It was interesting because we saw three long tenured defensemen all hang them up on the same kind of 24-hour span. Yandle, I say probably a podcast with Barstool, maybe. PK, maybe he's an analyst for Sportsnet. And Chara, I don't know. Like, what do you feel could be next for Zdeno?
It was funny. I asked Brad Marchand yesterday if he thought how he thought players would react to Coach Chara, and he basically said that players of the younger generation probably couldn't handle Coach Chara when he got worked up and saw something he didn't like, that they would have a tough time weathering the storm. So he was joking about that. Basically, what he said was, I don't think Chara's ownership coach material. I think he's ownership material. That's the kind of guy that ends up buying a hockey team. And I think maybe you see that with Zdeno Chara down the line. He is a real estate mogul. He's made a ton of money in his career. He's got property all over the place. He actually got his real estate license during one of the off seasons because he owns so much property. He wanted to, save his money on commission. So he would make the own sales of it and purchases of his own property. So, you're talking about a guy that's extremely smart. You're talking about a guy that's extremely well-rounded, that's, invested well with his money. I'm going to go with Brad Marchand and say that he ends up owning or being part owner of a hockey team someday. Maybe it's back in Slovakia and it's not in the NHL, but I think that could be the level that he gets involved with, because I don't know if he would have the patience to deal with players that didn't want to work as hard as he did day in and day out.
Pull the old yogs, go buy a team, play for it, manage it, coach it, the whole nine yards.
That's right.
Maybe not so much. We'll see. We're talking to Joe Haggerty, Boston Hockey now, joining us here on the Big Show. My name is Matt Rose. He's Patty Dumont.
Hey, Joe. New coach in Boston. Bruce Cassidy out. Jim Montgomery in. Talk about the impact that he's made, that he potentially will make or has already made in that dressing room.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, they haven't really even started working together until today, so we won't see the impact until they actually get on the ice and start doing their thing. The one interesting thing that I picked up on just the other day was, there was a lot of talk about him having a kind of softer touch than Bruce Cassidy. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to what Marchand was joking about with maybe some of the younger players not being able to handle a coach Zdeno Chara out on the ice. And, but by all accounts, it seems like Jim Montgomery is going to come in and he's not going to be as hard line as Bruce Cassidy was. He's not, he's going to be more constructive and positive and, sort of giving young players more chances to fail and more rope to work with maybe than Bruce Cassidy did at times. And, I think over the years, Butchie's a great coach, and I think he got very used to having, the pressure to win and having players that he trusted to go out and get things done in order to maintain that success that the Boston Bruins expect. And that sometimes doesn't leave a lot of room for the younger players to make mistakes, to grow, to develop, all of those things. And, I think towards the end, that was, part of what necessitated the change. And I think that's something else that you're going to see Jim Montgomery open to is putting younger players in bigger, better positions to have success, or at least seeing what they have. And, taking more chances in that regard or showing more patience, regardless of the short term win and loss that night. Now, that's a delicate balance because, like I said, the Bruins are expected to be in the playoffs. This may be Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci's last season with the Bruins, but David Pastrnak's in the last year of his contract. There's a lot of elements that tell you that the Boston Bruins are kind of in a last dance sort of season here where there's going to be a lot of pressure to win, get in the playoffs, and do as well as they can. But there's definitely, there's definitely some kind of marching orders from Boston Bruins management to involve the young players more. And I think that's something we're going to see a lot from Jim Montgomery, along with less criticism publicly in the media towards the players. I think that's another place you're going to see a big difference between the two, where Butch would say what he thought. And to his credit, I thought it was great. I think players should be able to hear that kind of criticism, but maybe behind closed doors, some of them didn't like it as much.
Now, a new guard patrols the blue line in Beantown. McAvoy signing long-term. Hampus Lindholm traded for, signing long-term. Brandon Carlo, Matt Grizzlick, they've also signed for a few years. That's solid depth. There's also some injuries. So let's start off, I guess, what's the status with Mike Riley, McAvoy, and Grizzlick heading into camp?
Yeah, Mike Riley had an ankle surgery. He's expected to be ready during camp. I don't know if he's going to be full go to start camp, but I don't think he's going to miss any time. Charlie McAvoy and Matt Grizzlick both had shoulder surgery, so they're going to miss probably the first month of the season.
Okay.
So you're talking about missing two of your premier puck movers, you know, guys that you're expected to provide offense, get the puck up quickly, create transitions, and really motor a lot of what the Boston Bruins do. And they're going to be hard-pressed to replace that and to deal with that. Certainly Hampus Lindholm is going to have to step up big time. But with Charlie McAvoy, your number one guy, gone, and he's going to have to play a ton of minutes and do a lot of different things. I think a younger guy like Jack Eichel might get a chance. He's been one of those young guys that's been trying to knock on the door the last few years. Maybe he replaces Matt Grizzlick's puck moving. But there's going to be a next man up mentality for sure with missing a few guys.
Now, when it's all said and done and healthy, that's a really strong group. Now, eventually, what do you like for pairs or slots on that defensive core?
Yeah, I think, you know, they've got to decide, and they haven't done it yet, if they're going to put Lindholm and McAvoy together as this sort of super top pairing, or if they're going to separate those two in the top pairs. I would expect it could turn into Charlie McAvoy and maybe Brandon Carlo. You put a shutdown guy on the top pair. Maybe you go Hampus Lindholm and... Now, you could put any number of – you could play somebody on the other side on the second pair. That one's going to be a little more complicated as to what they do. I think, you know, Mike Riley's going to factor in there as well. You look at Derek Forbort, you look at Connor Clifton, you look at guys like that, and they're more third-pairing material. So I think they've got some decisions to make. You know, they're going to have some things they have to move around and decide what they want to do. They like Grizzlick and McAvoy a lot, too, because they played together in college and they're good at moving pucks. I think you're going to see a lot of interchanging parts as far as the pairs go. I don't think there's going to be any lockdown. You know, this is what we're doing from day one, and this is what we're going to do. The one big question is, as I said at the beginning, do they put Lindholm and McAvoy together as a huge pairing, or do they separate those two? That's really where it's going to start, and they're going to build from there.
You mentioned earlier it could be the possible final years for a Bergeron or a Krejci and possibly a David Pastrnak. And I think we saw a lot of teams make moves that almost seemed to be spurred by a Johnny Gaudreau leaving the Flames this past offseason, teams getting out in front of some UFAs and signing them. You know, we see MacKinnon, Miller, even Huberdeau could be in that category, but not David Pastrnak yet. Do you think him being a UFA will hang over this club this year?
I actually, it's funny, I'm writing a column today about this, and I actually think it is going to push David Pastrnak into a level he hasn't been to before, the fact that he's got so much riding on this. Let's say theoretically that David Pastrnak wants to be the highest paid player on the team. Right now it's Charlie McAvoy, $9.5 million a year. Let's say David Pastrnak thinks he's worth $10 million plus. Maybe he looks at Jonathan Huberdeau's $84 million deal and says, I'm worth $10.5 million a year, just like Jonathan Huberdeau. And he has to go out and prove it. And maybe they go into the year and the Bruins don't necessarily want to pay any of their players $10 million plus a year. Maybe they subscribe to the Tampa Bay Lightning salary cap management, which is you don't pay any of your players over $10 million a year. And they point to the fact that it still exists now that no team has won the cup that has a $10 million a year player on their payroll, on their cap. And I think a lot of GMs look at that and say, once you go start paying players over $10 million a year, it affects the quality of your roster and you're not able to build a team that's good enough to win the cup. So maybe they go into the season and they have a little bit of a difference of opinion as to how much Pastrnak is going to sign for or what he's worth. Pastrnak's going to be motivated to go out there and show not only the Bruins, but everybody else that he's worth as much as he can get. You know, maybe he decides after he has a good start that he thinks he's worth Nathan MacKinnon money. You know, I think he's going to be motivated to be as good as he can possibly be. And on top of that,
I think we've lost Joe.
And really excited to go into the year. Hello.
Hey, yeah, we lost you there for a little bit there. It's all good. Just one last one from me. Not a lot of change on this roster this offseason outside of, you know, Pavel Zacha in for Eric Halla. How did the fan base react to maybe not a lot of roster change outside of, you know, just the Zacha in?
Yeah, I think, you know, every year the Bruins fans want big changes, wholesale changes. They want the shiny new toy that's available in free agency or via trade. And, you know, there's a feeling of sort of same old, when it's David Posse, Krejci coming back, Patrice Bergeron still there, and, you know, just a really smaller move when you swap out Halla and Zaka. So I think there was some unrest as far as that goes. I think there's definitely a feeling that the Bruins are at the end of their Stanley Cup window competing for the Stanley Cup. The window is kind of closing on them. And I think, you know, some think it's already shut. And not doing as much this offseason or retooling with familiar players didn't quell any of those feelings with the fans. So I think they wanted more to be done, but let's face it, every fan base in any NHL market, unless they're super wholesale change, like I'm sure in Calgary, fans are kind of excited because there's big faces coming in. They replaced the guys that left. Like, there was big changes. There's a lot to talk about. Not as much with the Bruins, and there's definitely some grumbling about it. But let's see what happens when the puck goes out on the ice.
Joe, really appreciate the time today. Boston Hockey Now is where we can find your work, and looking forward to this column as well. David Pastrnak, that's going to be an interesting situation as the season goes on. My very last question for you. You got the Panthers, the Lightning, and the Leafs in that division. Detroit and Buffalo probably on the up. Lots of change with the Senators. I think a lot of questions with the Canadiens. How do you see the Bruins shaking out in this division?
Yeah, and this goes into what we were just talking about. Like, you know, the Stanley Cup window is closing on the Bruins because they're getting older and all these other teams are getting better. And really, I feel like this year might be the year where that Toronto, Tampa, Boston sort of power structure continues to lessen. You know, obviously the Florida Panthers made a big move last year and hopped on top of all those teams. And, you know, they're up there now too. So you've got four, I think, legit teams. And you've got, I think, Ottawa definitely this year. Maybe Montreal's a year or two away based on the players that they have. But I think Ottawa's going to make a move this year for sure. And Detroit is definitely getting better, as you said, too. So I think either Toronto or Boston, like if these injuries, all these players, Marchand's out until Thanksgiving, McAvoy and Grzelcyk are out at the start of the year. If the Bruins get off to a really slow start, there could be a lot of pressure on them. And I think Toronto as well, you know, their goaltending situation is shaky. I think they still don't have defensively what they need. I think that young core has never got it together in the playoffs. There's a lot of pressure on the Leafs. I think big changes are coming if they don't drastically improve this year. So I think Toronto or Boston, one of those teams could fall out of it. One of these other teams could push up in there if things shake a certain way. So I think it's going to be super competitive with like five extremely good teams just duking it out every night in the Atlantic. It's going to be fun to watch.
Boston Hockey Now is where you can find all your work, at Hacks with Hags on Twitter, and I just perused. Do you enjoy Game of Thrones, the House of the Dragon? I quite enjoyed last week's episode.
Absolutely. I was skeptical at first that it was going to be as good a Game of Thrones, but I think it stands on its own. I'm in.
Yeah, oh, I'm right in there with you as well. And listen, there's a lot to watch right now, but they've got me hooked, and kind of like a weekly show as well. I don't know. It's kind of weird, but we're enjoying it. Joe, have a great day. Enjoy training camp, man. We'll chat soon.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There you go. He is Joe Haggerty joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Getting a workout today. 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner. For takeout or delivery, call 403-248-3344, or you can dine in at Atlas Pizza, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. And I got a little something here for you, Patrick.
Okay.
I received a text.
You did.
Earlier on in the program, because yesterday we were trying to get Adam Stanley on the show, our golf insider, because the President's Cup starts tomorrow.
It sure does.
Taylor Pendrith and Corey Connors both going to be on the international team taking on those pesky Americans.
And the only international squad took some hits lately with the live stuff, you know?
Oh, man. Like, they are heavy underdogs.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy underdogs. So I was like, reached out and shot Adam a text, and he just didn't get back to me, which is very peculiar. So I was like, yeah, he's probably on vacation. But turns out Adam had a child.
Oh, my
or
goodness.
Or his better half had a child a few days ago. So humongous congratulations to Adam Stanley.
Awesome.
Who's going to be offline for a lot of this week. But maybe we'll chat with him on Monday to recap the President's Cup.
Okay.
So I just wanted to give a little shout out to Adam there. Congratulations to Mr. Stanley.
Congrats.
Lovely. We'll take a break coming up next. A little what you want to talk about, plus just heaps of dumb audio that we haven't been able to get to this week. We've got some time coming up next, and we'll dive in. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Well, here we are, throwing a break. Oh, maybe we'll fill it with some audio before what you want to talk about, whatever.
Love this one. This is 2 days in a row where news drops. In the
someone of the Flames was like, no.
We got to save these guys.
That's a bad segment. We're going to change it up. Press release during the commercial break. Adam Rozicka has re-signed.
We're all here. We're all accounted for. Let's go play some hockey.
Everybody's on the ice ahead of, I know it's fitness testing today, so I'm not surprised you didn't wait until tomorrow just to get past
that. Hey, Rosie
that,
needed to show up, some of those guys. He needed to get up on them pull-up bars.
Yeah, get on that bike, huffing and puffing. 23-year-old skated in 16 games for Stockton last year, 28 games for the Flames. He had 10 points when he was with the NHL, 11 goals and 9 assists for 20 points in 16 games when he was with Stockton. So listen. If he's a Wrangler, because this contract is two-way in the first year, then one-way in the second year. It is a two-year deal, and the AAV is $762,000, so it's not going to break the bank.
Mm-mm.
2 years. Hey, we like the step you took last year. Show us you can do it again.
Exactly.
Maybe he starts the year in the AHL, depending on how training camp goes for him, or maybe he impresses and he starts a team in the big club. Either way, I don't think either one is bad.
This team loves organizational depth.
Oh, yeah. He'd be the first guy to get a call. I think it depends on a couple things. A, what does Cody Eakin look like?
Mm-hmm.
And does he deserve a spot on the team? Because if he does, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. But the other thing, too, do you want Adam Rozicka playing on the fourth line? Personally, no.
No, because we've said he's not
that
player.
A middle six player.
He's not that player. And he needs to play top minutes in the AHL.
Top
line.
Contributing
with either Pelche, Zary, whatever, on that line with him.
I think we like Zary at center, so doubtful, but okay. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Maybe Matthew Phillips.
Matthew Phillips, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he's in. He's dressed. He's going to be here. Thank goodness. That leaves just 6 remaining restricted free agents.
It's not a list you want to be on with camp essentially opening up really today.
Especially if you're the guy where I'm like...
Wonders. I scored 40 goals last year, and I don't have a contract.
Well, that one, I'm like, whatever. He's trying to get his bag. He's doing his thing. It's Jason
That's
Robertson.
That's the team
whatever.
Situation, yeah.
The other one where I'm like, Taylor Wotherspoon. Like,
Peyton.
Taylor.
Is it Taylor Wotherspoon?
Parker.
Parker. Peyton Taylor.
My point stands.
Tyler?
What are you doing?
No, exactly.
So he's the sixth, and then it's Sandin in Toronto. McLeod,
but like Sandin and Robertson, it's like, okay, Ryan McLeod. But like,
even Ryan McLeod,
what are you doing?
Good in the playoffs.
Yeah, like
really good in the playoffs. 71 was the number he was ripping around, rocking. Good player. I love the speed that he plays with. He was one of the guys that certainly popped to me in that Edmonton series. There were times where you're like, oh, here comes a big day. Oh, that's 71. Oh. Okay, right on. Good for him. So I think for the Oilers, you probably want to get him involved because he started to become a real piece of that team later on in the season. We've just mentioned Robertson. Then there's Nick Hag in Vegas. Another one where you're like, you probably want to sign him with how things are going with this roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Pietrangelo, you got Martinez, you got Theodore, you got hopefully a healthy McNabb once again after he missed a lot of time last year. And then you got Whitecloud and Ben Hutton. You feel good about that. But Nick Hague probably drops Ben Hutton out of a series. You know, he drops Hutton to your 7, which is a good spot for Ben Hutton to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Whitecloud's a good third pair guy. I think him and Hague, you know, a couple of younger guys, but that's a solid third pair. Or maybe you bump them up and McNabb ends up playing with Whitecloud and you put Hague in your top 4, playing on one side of Theodore or Pietrangelo. That would work. So some questions for sure. And then there's Alex Formanton in Ottawa, which there's a lot of questions as to what's going on with that. He was not on their training camp roster when they released it.
And I think we're not going to assume.
Yeah.
But there's some issues there.
He was on that roster.
Not way back, but
he was on that roster that was at that golf gala with Team Canada. That's, I think, what a lot of people wonder about.
Mm-hmm.
So, Adam Rozicka's in. Like you mentioned, everybody's accounted for. Out on the ice they get. They'll do their strength and conditioning testing throughout the course of the day.
You know, like Gio was the guy that was just killing it every year that he was here?
Uh-huh.
Who's the guy now that's just killing it?
I don't know. Who did win last year? I feel like... I don't even know who won last year. It certainly wasn't either of the two guys left. Was it Cabranson, maybe? I don't know. I honestly, for the life of me, cannot remember... who was at the top of fitness testing last year. That's too bad. Yeah. We'll see if we get the results and stuff like that. Hey, we got to give away these cavalry tickets really quick.
This is a good question,
and
Alex.
Then we'll get some audio. So on Saturday, Cavalry are taking on Atletico Ottawa. It is a huge game. Three more games left in the regular season for the Cavalry. They're trying to get the top spot or one of the top two spots in the standings.
Yeah.
Because only four teams make the playoffs.
And then recently the new commissioner, Mark Noonan, said that the regular season winner, it'll be retroactively awarded, but starting next year, that the top place team will get a trophy. A president's trophy.
Cool.
It's called a supporter's shield in soccer. Right on. That'll be the top. So I don't know if it carries any qualification spot with it, like an MLS you do. So that's something cool just to go forward with the CPL, knowing that you get something for finishing top of the table.
We've been giving away tickets all week long, and it's really more tickets. Mm. It's a whole package. You get two tickets to this match, 3:30 on Saturday. You can come hang out with Brody and I. We're both going to be there. Dumas going to be there as well.
Yeah, I'll be around.
There's going to be a parking pass for you attached to it, a $20 food voucher, a scarf, and access to the VIP mess hall. So it's a pretty good setup. Listen, Saturday, it does look like it's going to be a good day. I plan to get a round of golf in before I head down to Attico Field at Spruce Meadows. But nevertheless, getting into that mess hall is never a bad thing either. A little time indoors never hurts. The parking pass certainly helps.
We're looking at 20 on Saturday.
Huh?
We're looking at 20 degrees on Saturday.
Balmy.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be beautiful. So we're giving away tickets. We got a trivia question coming up, and I'm looking for your answers at 960-960. Alex Brody, our outstanding technical producer, coming up with the question again today. And I think these keep getting better.
Like this
the,
is a good
the
one.
First one was bad.
Well, I didn't. What was the first one?
Well, who's the older? What was it?
Oh, the oldest. Older Trafford.
Okay. It wasn't bad. It was just. It was easy.
Easy. A little.
That's a yes or no.
That was an Ephus pitch.
I don't know. Danny was having some trouble with those Ephus pitches yesterday, man. Those things were up by the eyes. He was having a bit of an issue. And then yesterday was very good.
Yeah. That was a trick question.
What was yesterday? Yesterday was the minutes one. That was a trick question. That was good work by you, Brody. And today he's come up with this. Which former Cavalry FC player became the first CPL player ever to make the jump to the MLS?
Also just earned a call up to Canada's national team.
Oh, a little hint for you. Yes. Oh, what's going on this weekend?
Well, they got Qatar on Friday in a warm-up, and then they play Uruguay on Tuesday, and then that'll be this little bit of international window, and then they get back to the schedule, and then they have one more game, I believe a week ahead of the World Cup, where they'll play Japan.
And then it's...
Then we're into it. November 20th, man.
Oh, man. How excited are you getting?
You know what? There is a lot of issues, obviously, with this World Cup, you know, being in the winter, being in a country that doesn't have the greatest human rights policies and whatnot, but that's beside the point. It's a big tournament, and it also might be the last. It is the last tournament that's probably not going to be watered down because it's the last of the 32 variety.
And then they're going to open up to 64.
48.
Oh.
Still a lot.
It's a lot of teams.
Yeah, 48 when it rolls through Canada, U.S., Mexico in 2026.
Wow. My goodness.
But yeah.
All right.
We're getting some answers?
We are getting some answers. I'm going to give a few minutes, then we'll pick one at random. And we'll announce it after what you want to talk about. A few texts do coming in, though. Some people helping us out with the fitness testing, except we're getting multiple answers. Two people are telling us it was Dubé. Two people are telling us it was Oliver Shillington, Sean Monahan, and Michael Backlund both getting a vote. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Monahan, but...
Yeah, with the hip.
I kind of thought it was Dubé.
Dubé and Shillington feel like they could possibly. It feels like, and the way Shillington had that camp, I could see Shillington totally winning that.
Yeah, it was a pretty strapped young man. Sure, that'll be later today. Wanted to get into some audio as well. Yesterday there was a video I came across, and I think that this is going to play well for a lot of our listeners because at times. You know, you become a fan of a team, you cheer for them for a long time. Like you mentioned, you know, we were talking about the Leafs and the Habs earlier. You bleed hockey, you bleed those teams' colors when you cheer for them for a long enough time. And in the NFL, there's a lot of fans who have cheered for a lot of bad teams for a very long time. for instance, fans of the Chicago Bears, who the Bears taking another tough loss over the weekend. And I don't know if a lot of people have been here before, but maybe some of them, where you have a significant other or a new significant other who doesn't really understand how much you love a sports team. They just don't necessarily get it. So there's a video that's gone kind of viral. There's a gentleman. He's watching the end of the Bears game. Tough loss. He's emotional. And
he's not used to it by now?
That seems unnecessary.
It's Green Bay on a Sunday night in Lambeau. Bears lose. 8 straight now.
Okay. Packers fan across from me just could not help himself. He was just licking his chops. Anyways, he's very much like this poor gentleman's other half, who is ripping on him for being upset that his team has lost. And he brings up some good points, man.
Yeah. Hey, man, why you coming at you? I told you, when they lose, don't talk to me for the rest of the week. Why is you bothering me? Dang.
Whoa, what about the wristbands? You act like they finna throw you in a game to save the last couple of points for you.
Would you leave me alone? Would you leave me alone?
You don't even cry for me like this.
I only know you for 2 months. This has been my team for 22 years. Yeah. Win, lose, or draw. This is where I'm at. Get out. Get out. I don't even want you here.
What? What?
I don't even want you here.
I've known you for 2 months. It's been my team for 22 years. My guy. Yes. Yes. I'm so here for this dude. I'm sending him some love and some good vibes because we've all been there, man.
I only know you for 2 months. It's been my team for 22 years. Yeah. Win, lose, or draw. This is where I'm at. Get out. Get out. I don't even want you here.
What?
Get out.
I get it. Some people just don't get it. They don't get the fandom. They don't get the love. They don't get the you know, like, this is a big investment you people take on with their fans and the merch, the TV, the time. And
yeah.
I get it. Dude,
he's wearing like a big Bears jacket. He's wearing a Justin Fields jersey underneath. He's got a Bears toque on. At one point, she's like, aren't you hot?
Like it's still summertime, man.
But he's got to get all his stuff on because it's game day, man. And like he said,
win, lose, or draw. This is where I'm at. Get out. Get out. I don't even want you here.
What?
Win, lose, or draw. Doesn't matter. God, love that. So, yeah, he was taking it in the teeth a little bit, but I was very impressed to go into the replies, and most people were like, yes, brother, way to be. Stand your ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's saying anything bad. It's the truth. It's like, hey.
Hey, he didn't swear.
I don't know if if it's a joke, he probably knows her more than 2 months. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not.
I only know you for 2 months. This has been my team for 22 years.
Listen, I've gotten emotional before about my teams.
Yeah.
Back when I was just a young buck in university, I shed a tear the day that Jerome McGinley got traded. I admit that.
No, I was problem. I was in the car coming back from that game, actually. They were playing the Avs that night.
Yeah.
And it was all along. It's like, oh, Iggy's going to Boston. Iggy's going to Boston. Yeah. And Pat leaves his mic on or something like that during Feaster's press conference. And he's like, he's going to Pittsburgh? I remember that driving on the way home, listening to 960, because it felt like a funeral in the dome that night.
Uh-huh.
It was like Avs beat him.
I remember that.
Iggy wasn't in the lineup. It was dead in there. I think they lost 5-2 or something like that. But I remember that heading home. Pat was like, he's going to Pittsburgh?
Going to Pittsburgh?
So, yeah, and then, like, Packers 2014 NFC Championship against Seattle. They blew it. 18-point lead in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson walks it off in overtime.
Well, it's the same thing. Like, whenever you invite people over for a big game, people are like, yeah, we'll come. Mm-hmm. And then someone comes over, and they don't really understand the gravitas of the situation, and they're kind of joking around and ripping on you, and you got to hit them with the...
I only know you for 2 months. This has been my team for 22 years.
There's the door.
There's the door. Get out. Get out. Win, lose, or draw.
What you want to talk about? What Incredible. Are some of your sad losses as a sports fan?
When have
made you
cried?
Feel like that guy.
When have you cried as a sports fan? Because, you know, I've seen this on Twitter before. the point of sports is not to enjoy celebrations and win championships. Like, as a fan, that is not the point of sports. The point of sports is to be sad in a group together.
I remember the losses more than the wins.
Because it feels so much better when you're sad in a group. So fire yours in, and we'll get into it. What you want to talk about? It's brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Yeah. We're getting some doozies.
Yeah, Fail Mary. There's a good one. I remember that one.
Which one was the Fail Mary?
That was No Refs 2011, 2012 or something like that. Packers, Seahawks, Monday Night Football. It was Morgan Burnett. It was the catch. And the catch, no catch. And one guy raised his touchdown. The other guy was waving it off.
Yeah, that was.
And then next week we got the real refs back.
Oh, that's what you mean by no referees. Yeah, yeah. When they were on strike.
When the scab referees. Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. Oh, boy. Was that a TikTok? Seen lots of people trying to partner shame on there. Yeah, it was a TikTok, actually. I shed tears when my Eagles won the Super Bowl. I think there was a lot of Eagles fans that did.
A lot of Philly did, man. That was the first Super Bowl. It's a city that's been through a lot. I mean, Philadelphia had two Super Bowls before. Lost, and then you beat Tom Brady and the Patriots.
We keep getting more answers for the fitness testing. Dubé, Backlund, someone says maybe it was Theo. I don't think it was Theo.
Michael from Tank, talk to me about Michael Stone. What's his status today?
Remains on a PTO, and that won't change until the end of camp. And unless someone gets hurt or he just blows the door off, that might be how it ends. Atlanta Falcons fans, 28-3. That is all that coming in from Tyler.
Yeah, that's a big one too. that was, I mean, all he had to do was just, I don't know. I don't even have to go in there and explain like that one. That's a tough one. And then overtime losing. Yeah.
Oof. And then like, there's the Eagles fan who said, I shed tears when my Eagles won the Super Bowl. Then there's the other half. I cried watching the Eagles lose to the Patriots in 2004, and I also cried when they won against Brady in 2017.
Yeah.
I cried after the helmet catch. That's a Pats fan. This one says, I know too well what the Bears fan is going through, being one myself. That's defeat by the Colts in 2006 in the Super Bowl after Devin Hester started the game off with the TT, only to see them in the end lose sucked. Or when my Spurs lost to the Heat 2013 Game 6. When all they had to do was hit a couple of free throws. Parker and Leonard both missed crucial free throws. I definitely shed some tears. In the end, it's just a game, but it's easy to get emotionally invested in your team. That coming from Magarza.
Yeah, correct. It was M.D. Jennings, not Morgan Burnett. They were the same. They were safeties for the Packers. Sorry, M.D. Jennings, the doctor.
This coming from a Seahawks fan, the pass instead of the run.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got Lynch.
The Saints NFC no call.
Yeah, pass interference.
This person who just says, the Ravens last weekend, I cried. That was week one. What are you doing?
I think he was talking about their blowing the loss to the Dolphins this past week.
Okay, yeah. That was a big one. I guess, yeah, last week. Be, but even then, why would you cry? Come on, it's week two, and it's not even a divisional game. I cried when Ray Bourque won his first cup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hell, if I was old enough at that time, I probably would have too.
Worst loss. Oilers to Bills loss in the playoffs. My mom made me take out the garbage, and the game turned at that point. Oh, that's tough. That is tough. To be given errands.
The damn game's on. Come on.
The game's on. I was devastated and cried quite a bit when Calgary lost to Tampa Bay in 04. I was 15. I was younger, and I bet I cried as well. I don't really explicitly remember it, but I probably did. My Canucks losing to the Bruins. Did you cry, or did you... Never mind. We don't need to get into it. Were you also at that Rolling Loud party? Over the weekend? That also? Who was it? Lil Baby didn't show up.
Oh, yeah.
They were also not very. I'm a Washington Commanders fan. I cry daily.
Okay.
Didn't Samuel L. Jackson post him shedding tears to Twitter when his Falcons lost that Super Bowl to the Pats? I don't remember that.
Could see it. But I know he is a Falcons fan. I do know that. I do know he's a Falcons fan.
Good morning, boys. The one game that made me cry was 04, Yankees versus Red Sox series. I nearly quit watching baseball for good. Those greasy Red Sox.
That was just fun baseball that year. 04 was a hell of a series. ALCS, the down 3-0, the comeback. I get it. You did like year before Aaron Boone walked it off against the Red Sox in game 7, so I get it. He wanted to go back to back.
The 2010 Golden Goal.
Happy cries, yeah.
The trend here is really reinforcing my statement earlier. A lot of crying in some sad moments, but not a lot of crying in a lot of the victories. Like 2010 Golden Goal is good. We got a Eagles Super Bowl. When Dubé won fitness. No, that's something else. That's from earlier. Cried when Team Canada won the Women's Soccer Olympic gold.
Yeah. That was a good run.
This just coming in. I cried tears of joy in 2004 when my Red Sox beat those greasy Yankees. I'll give you guys the phone numbers. You can go meet in front of McMahon.
In the parking lot?
Yeah, in the parking lot. That'll probably do it.
We got a winner for those tickets?
We do have a winner for the tickets. Let me go down here. The question was... which former Cavalry FC player becomes the first CPL player to ever make the jump to the MLS? Someone texted in Arabin Pebble. That's different, though.
He's going. He went above MLS.
Yes,
he went to England,
and that was also like a while ago.
Yeah,
or recently. Pardon me.
As Waterman left, Alex Waterman left Cavs. What, 2 seasons ago?
I didn't see the answer yet. Yeah, but there it is. Yeah. Joel Waterman was the answer.
Oh, I just gave it away.
Whoopsie.
Didn't give his first name, but yeah, Joel Waterman, now of CF Montreal, earning a call-up to Canada's national team as well this weekend.
Humongous congratulations to Ryan, who has won himself a pack that includes tickets, parking pass, $20 for some grub, and a scarf, and a pass to the VIP mess hall. Congrats, Ryan. We'll get in touch with you. I'll shoot you a text back here, let you know that you won. Our promotions team will be in touch as far as how you can collect your prize. And come hang out with Duma, Brody, and myself on Saturday and watch Cavalry take on Atletico Ottawa. And for those who are still trying to get the fitness test question right, you get nothing.
We think it's Dubé. It sounds like it's Dubé that won the fitness testing last year.
Yeah.
I cried when Krispy Kreme left Calgary.
Oh, jeez.
I only went to Krispy Kreme once, and somebody does mention in the text line that I have a memory of a steel trap, which is true because I do remember the only time I went to Krispy Kreme was the night the Flames beat the San Jose Sharks in the Western Conference Final in 2004.
I don't know how you do it,
man. I don't know how I do it either.
What the hell is that? Or did you just pull that out of?
Just pulling it out.
What you want to talk about, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Coming up after us, it's going to be Blair and Barker. Just received the rundown for the program. Give you a little insight as to what we're going to see here. They're going to obviously open up going over yesterday's wild game, 18-11. The Jays do beat the Phillies in the first of two games they'll play. Ben Wagner is going to join the show in hour number one. They're also going to get a chat from Raul Ibanez, who's the senior VP for baseball operations, to talk more on some of the rule changes that we've heard about. And Jamie Moyer, former major league pitcher for 25 seasons with the Mariners, Phillies, Moyer, Cubs, and Orioles, going to join as well. That both in hour number two. So Blair and Barker up until 11. Then it'll be CBS Sports Radio. Jays Plus with Blake Murphy at 1 o'clock. Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon will go at 2. Then at 3, it's Flames Talk with Steinberg and Logo. We get the Blue Jays and the Phillies at 4:45. Kevin Gausman facing Zach Wheeler. What do we have booked for the show tomorrow?
We're going to go into Pittsburgh. We're going to talk with Steelers beat. Get ahead of a little preview of Thursday Night Football. But the Browns and the Steelers out to a couple others. And
chasing the Browns beat to
chasing
wrap that
thing
the
up. Browns as well. And Justin Dunk to get us ready for week 14 in the CFL now. Week 13? Week 15?
15.
Week 15. My goodness. We're getting down to that.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Couple others in the fire as well. See
yeah,
what happens.
Yeah, and we did. I canvassed the fans earlier, the listeners earlier, asking which NHL teams they want to hear for. The top vote getters were Nashville, Montreal, Columbus, and Seattle. Given where we have open time tomorrow, Seattle's going to be really tough, but we're looking at the other three. And Nashville's tough. They just don't have a lot of people that cover the team anymore.
Yeah, that is true. They don't have a lot.
Vingan doesn't work for The Athletic anymore.
Pete Weber is their commentator. Well, I've messaged him.
And,
Pete Weber's
possibility. They got one of the boys on the morning show over there. Robbie also is a beauty. So we're chasing a little bit of that, and we'll try and get that into the show for you as well. But until then, folks, enjoy your day, man. Have a great day. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.